Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Conversations on 89.5. This is Jason Bramley with Catholic Spirit Radio. If you missed last week, you missed the mom and pop of our current guest today. So go back and listen to our podcast. You can find us on Podbean, on iTunes, on our free app, which also comes in Spanish. You can download that from the Google Play Store or from the iTunes or the Apple Store. I don't know what they call it. I have like four different icons on my Apple phone that I feel like all should go to the same place, whether it's music or videos or apps. But anyway, off topic. Kevin Griot is with us today. Like I said, John and Kay Griot were with us last week talking about Father Julius's school project that he's building in Uganda. So go back and listen to that podcast if you missed us. Kevin is here from what used to be called Students for Life of Illinois. They have changed their name, so we'll get into that a little bit. If you remember, I don't know what it was, 2 years ago maybe-ish, we had some Students for Life on. It was still Students for Life, so how long ago did you guys change the name?
Hey, thanks for having me on. First off, yeah, we changed the name just about a year ago in April of 2018.
So it was probably 2 years ago then. It was shortly after the March for Life. So, I don't know, maybe it was a year or 2 years ago, but go back and listen to it. It was a great conversation with Francesca and Brian and Pam.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to it. But yeah, so Kevin is with us today. Thank you for being here. We're going to talk a little bit about what used to be called Students for Life. So what prompted the name change for folks that that might recognize the Students for Life title?
Yeah, and the Students for Life of Illinois got started back in 06 out of the Newman Center at U of I by a student trying to build up a network at first. And then 10 years in, we realized we had become much more than we anticipated. It was no longer just a student network. We had grown to multiple staff, full-time staff. Jason, I'm not getting any younger either. I got a couple of kids. I'm married now. Like, oh, man, this is...
So really, they just couldn't kick you out.
Yeah.
So they were like, all right, well, we can't be Students for Life anymore.
Yeah, we got to just change the name.
We have to accommodate Kevin. He wants to still hang out.
I'm glad to say that's not the reason.
Okay, good.
Actually, that's
good,
not
good.
The reason. In fact, it was growing so much when we started mentoring that people wanted to know what we were doing, and they wanted to know from all over the U.S. And so we had requests to Skype in California or New York, Texas, and there's a draw for the type of messaging we were doing. And that's why we continued further with We Dignify as our new name and has been. It's fun to think of it as not new anymore to me because we've just been in it full
right,
now.
Sure.
Yeah, for 10 months, saturated in. Love our roots and where we got started, but understanding that we were called and we prayed a lot about where's our next steps. And a lot of the answer we got back was to go bigger and go broader. And as a result, like just in September of this past year, we launched a podcast that's now been listened in over 30 states across the U.S. We have someone who from Scotland who wanted to apply for one of our jobs and wanted us to bring We Dignify to Scotland. We haven't gone that broad yet.
But working on it.
But yeah. Give us a couple years, I think. But immediately we were able to expand into Wisconsin, and we started mentoring up in Milwaukee as well.
So primarily still on college campuses or?
Yes. The nature and the scope of our mission to mentor students into skilled, virtuous, pro-life leaders is very heavily focused on college because it's the intersection of reality and belief. This is the age group that's most susceptible and most at risk to have an abortion, but it's also the age group that's most at risk to lose their pro-life belief.
Gotcha. So you guys are reaffirming those beliefs.
Yeah. Human dignity is essential to understanding and hence dignity, but it must be something that we move on and we move together. You know, we're also appealing to the iPhone generation and then some.
Yeah.
But to go from I to we is integral to understanding community.
Awesome. So so you're basically like the Turning Point USA for the pro-life cause. Are you familiar with them?
I am familiar. Yeah.
So I mean, just kind of that stable concept as far as adults mentoring college-aged campus students, kind of in different, are the groups kind of on their own as far as their, how they're running their organization, like the ones in Wisconsin, or, and then they kind of fall under a broad umbrella of the We Dignify, or is it?
Well, we set up and realized in early years, we saw a lot of people recreating the wheel, college students.
They're,
you know, the retention is really bad. They only last about 4 years in college, and then they move on. It's
and if you don't get them until they're a year or two there.
These stupid kids keep graduating on us every year, and so we just lose them. But the,
maybe if you targeted more the kids that weren't going to class or doing their homework, then you could get them to stick around longer.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. I'm sure their parents would love that,
too.
Yeah,
what's your GPA for? We're not looking for you.
Yeah, you're not the time.
we're looking for the six-year track.
How often do you attend class? And that's not the screening process. We have grown closer with the name switch allowed us to really become under one umbrella and unify a lot of what groups were doing because we saw a lot of recreating the wheel. Were a lot of trial and error, and we wanted to continue to help improve them, which meant not recreating or restarting every couple of years. And that's the nature of working with college students, but we wanted the group to be effective and build every year. So that's where our mentoring has really become integral, because when we are just a network-wide of 20, 30 groups across, you know, all spread out in the Midwest, we saw a lot of lack of impact. And not for a desire to try, but when you're creating a constitution every couple of years, or you're refiling, or someone forgot to do the paperwork, or you don't have the leadership there because someone graduated, or someone just dropped out, or it got hard, then you're really not building momentum. And we wanted to help people build upon what has been done before. And then we realized that took full-time staff, and it took placing people close by, nearby. I mean, this is really looking at a Catholic principle of subsidiary in order to serve the local people, knowing them.
That's awesome. Where do you guys focus most of that momentum?
So the groups move towards doing education, service, and activism. And we do a form of activism called Dialogue with Dignity. So we just send people out. And they just did it last week. It's called Daring Greatly. We just send a group of people. We huddle up first and then send them out and say, go talk to people and start conversations. So they just approach anyone else on campus and start up a conversation. And it's really helping students overcome the fears associated with being pro-life and what people are going to respond to. Some of them are abstract fears. Some of them are based in reality. One student got called when talking to another student. I found out they were both pro-life, but someone passing by called the student. He was like, the lady passing by called the young man the devil incarnate.
Wow.
And he said, you are the devil incarnate, and then kept going. He'd never met this student before just because she overheard them talking about pro-life values.
Wow.
And
it's pretty strong.
Yeah, I would say that's...
I mean, I can think of all kinds of bad four-letter words, but...
Yeah, we've been told we're number one with one finger before and things like that. But this was really, really wild. And this is... I mean, this has become apparent with activism, but also we build them up with education. And we do that through small groups. We launched a trial run. Actually, Francesca was in... the pilot program that we did back in spring of 2017 with two groups, and where we had packaged lesson plans and curriculum. And then we, rather than having like 20 or 30 people trying to learn, let's pare it down to 5 to 8. And that has exploded. We have over 18 groups active now in just a two-year time frame. And so we're looking at going from 10 students in those two groups to over 100 meeting every week and learning this lesson plans. And that really gives them a much better educational foundation to then go out and have conversations.
Nice. So you guys, of the pro-life always, it typically gets cut down to not anti-abortion, right? And it's really a spectrum of life from conception to natural death. But you guys spend most of your time focused on that pre-birth protection of the unborn.
Well, I think it's important that the notion that we're just pro-birth is not true.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, the students that we work with up in Milwaukee just yesterday or this week packaged over 300 baby boxes. So there are care packages for mothers who are choosing life in difficult situations. It's zoomed in, often with related to, the unborn.
Sure.
Starting there, but also their mothers and looking there.
We have to keep them alive first.
Yeah. But we also understand the impact of euthanasia and how that is becoming more rampant. And if you don't have any kind of principle understanding, right now a lot of the students are in moral relativism, where it's just, hey, whatever you think is best, that's what's for you.
Right.
I'm personally opposed, but I don't want to tell anyone else what to do. If you're just hanging out in that nature, then you don't understand the principle level that applies to many different life
issues. We have five kids, and three, the youngest three are boys. And, you know, there's days when I'd probably be pro-choice up to like 36 months post-birth. I mean, that's the slippery slope. I mean, it sounds funny, but that's really not really that far off. If you look at where we were at, you know, 5 years ago, as a society where, you know, we thought that for the folks that were claiming to be pro-choice, it was the, you know, rare, safe, and...
Yeah, safe, rare, and legal.
Safe, rare, and legal. And now it's like abortion on demand. If the baby comes out and it's still alive, we should kill it. And I mean, it's really grotesque.
These things sound extreme. Like, no one's actually saying that. That sounds absurd. But when the governor of Virginia advocates for that, who's a pediatric neurosurgeon, we're not talking about abstract concepts.
Right. And so something as you know, I was clearly joking, but... Where's that line? If you don't, and this is, I guess, my, I'm always big on being intellectually honest. And to me, if you don't draw the line at conception, then there's really no, every line past conception is an arbitrary place to draw the line.
It's really arbitrary.
So what difference does it make? You know, if that kid's 11 months old and you're still not happy with them, then, you know, what's the difference?
Right. And that's unfortunately the approach that a lot of people feel. Peter Singer is a famous philosopher in the university level, and he argues for consciousness as a basis for person or values. Yeah, it's a human, but it's not a person. It doesn't have values. And he argues up till consciousness, which is many people put at 2 years old. So this is, you're absolutely right that it's a very slippery slope, and that any point after conception or even from a scientific level, talking about sperm egg fusion, then you are, which is one of the same as as conception.
Different than contraception.
Yep. Conception and sperm egg fusion. You're looking at anything after that is very.
It's
unscientific.
Just arbitrary. Yeah.
It's not. There's not a scientific basis for that. There's not like.
It's the 20 weeks they can feel pain. 8 weeks there's a heartbeat. You know, whatever. You can draw the line anywhere you want, and it's just an arbitrary line.
Oh, yeah, and viability for a long time was argued, but that is a moving target. And
well, sure, medical field continues to improve.
And I think one of the benefits we're seeing is that the more science has progressed, the more effective ultrasounds are, the more people see it. And unfortunately, there's not a time in which we can recollect to when we were in the womb. There's no memory of it, so it's hard to have an emotional connection to that time of our life. But it's much easier, too, when we can visually see it. And on that front, you really see with the changes in the Supreme Court justices, people aren't talking about when or if Roe versus Wade will be overturned. They're talking about when. And it's going to be happening sooner than later.
I heard a thing on the other day that they were going to be broadcasting, and maybe this already happened, and you might know better. They were going to be broadcasting, I think, a 4D ultrasound on the Times Square.
Yeah, that is coming up.
Board or whatever.
I don't have the exact date on when that's happening, but
yeah, I just heard that it was coming up.
The amazing visual images. I just saw an article about they printed off a 3D image of a lady's, you know, child in the womb because she's blind, and they wanted her to be able to experience that, and she couldn't see, you know, obviously couldn't see the ultrasound, but could, with her hands and fingers are how she sees. And we're at that level where can we do a 3D image printed off, and you can. Yeah, so it's really incredible the amount of beauty and visual insight we can have, but also because there's changes on this front, you would think that people would be going a more reasonable approach, but actually things are getting more extreme on the state level, especially in Illinois. Right now there's a couple of bills that have been put forth. One is HB 2467, which is talking about repealing parental notice. So... parental notification is merely 48 hours. You have to inform a parent or a guardian that this child is going to have, you know, a minor is going to have an abortion. Well, right now there's movement to repeal that. So you could, this person can't go to an R-rated movie without permission or receive Tylenol or anything like that. But now if they repeal that, then you could have an invasive surgery without your parents even knowing.
They're not an adult enough to get their own health insurance till they're 26, but they can have an abortion without telling their parents at 13, 14, 15 years old.
Yeah, and the wild thing is that we're paying for it. With HB 40 that was passed and signed by Governor Rauner, in 2017, there used to be, in extreme cases, there would be the state would provide insurance coverage for certain cases. And between January of 2017 and June of 2017, so a six-month time period, there were 84 abortions that Illinois paid for. With HB 40, 1 year later, it went from January to June. 1 year later, it went from 84 abortions to the state funding 1,561
wow.
abortions. And the youngest was 12 years old. So Illinois is becoming a magnet state for people. Planned Parenthood of Illinois is calling it the Midwest, the oasis for abortion in the Midwest. And it really is getting to a point where it's not simple things. It's not like moderate things. We're talking about another bill that wants to allow abortions up until birth. So you mentioned talking about the governor in Virginia advocating that, New York making that law. Well, Governor Pritzker advocated and wants Illinois to be the most progressive as far as reproductive rights, which means what it looks like in HB 2495 is looking at abortion for any reason up until birth, non-doctors performing surgical abortions, insurance plans covering it to full, and it really repeals any kind of, if a nurse doesn't want to practice, like perform an abortion at a hospital, it would repeal that ability for her to object.
Wow. It is definitely very shocking. You know, again, going back to the intellectual honesty, I think by and large, and again, you're the expert here, so we'll see if I'm right or wrong. I think by and large, it seems like the largest segment of the population wants to stand kind of in the middle on the, well, I think it's a baby, I wouldn't do it, but I don't want to tell other people how to live their life. And I think a lot of it comes from that vitriol of, you're the devil incarnate. You know, they don't want to fight with people. They don't want to argue with people. They have a friend or a family member that's had an abortion, so they don't want to, you know, take a stand in which they upset someone else. And so it seems like, in my experience, the vast majority of people kind of fall in that, well, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not willing to stand up and defend the unborn.
Yeah, and polling suggests that. Numbers suggest that. What we hear every day on campus suggests that.
Yeah.
Moving people out of apathy or on the fence or in the middle ground or I just don't want to get involved with that, that's a very controversial issue. Moving someone out of that and recognizing this is a community in which we must take care of our brothers and sisters. And if we are systematically eliminating a group of people because of an age status or environmentally they're in the womb and not somewhere else. So it's mere geography on that case. But that hesitation to engage, I'm having a really hard time. We as a team are having a hard time being patient with. And I understand that students are scared and that people are scared to enter this because there are so many people that are hurt by abortion. But, I mean, we're talking about the truth will set you free. If you keep that hurt in the darkness and you don't bring it out into the light, then it can ruin. And the grief and the tragedy and the pain that abortion causes then continues in the silence.
Yeah, I think it, in regards to, you know, if there is a positive or a silver lining to, you know, the New York and the other states that are kind of following suit, to your point, Illinois, with now the ability of social media, I think that it seems that anyway, because we're no longer on the safe, rare, and legal concept, it's now, you know, abortion on demand for any reason at any time, and somebody else is going to pay for it. My hope is that that's going to then force all those people, to your point, who are apathetic about it, to really have to make up their mind and take a stand. Like, I feel like the one benefit, if there is, to this just grotesque display, to your point, the governor in Virginia and everything else, that hopefully at least that makes people make a determination on whether or not they're pro-life or pro-choice. To your point, the polling suggests that the vast majority of them are pro-life. And so hopefully, I guess, the overreach of the pro-choice movement as it's become here just in the last, I mean, month or two, it's really just blown up. I and to the things that you can, you know, find on social media. I watched a 2-minute long movie on Twitter of a woman having an abortion.
Oh.
And like, it was it was unbelievable. Full term, partial birth abortion on Twitter. Nothing was pixelated out. You could see everything. I mean, this was from the south end of a northbound horse or what. I mean, and it,
whoa.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, but then you also see like the governor of Virginia all over social media, right? As soon as he says that the doctor that testified before Congress in regards to how third trimester abortions work, and, you know, that was all over social media. There, it seems like every day there's another kind of undercover Planned Parenthood, you know, expose where somebody went in and asked them questions and they're like, oh yeah, we just, you know, if the baby comes out and it's breathing, we just, you know, let it kind of sit there until it stops. And so I guess my only hope is that people become so exposed to the grotesque nature of the abortion industry that hopefully that, you know, swings the pendulum way back the other way, I guess.
After Governor Cuomo in New York signed in a law, the Reproductive Health Act, that, you know, up until birth, you can have an abortion in New York for any reason, Cardinal Dolan wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. And it talked about this could be an awakening.
Yeah.
No longer can we just be indifferent. No longer can we sit on the fence. No longer can we not engage in this issue because it's controversial or hard or difficult to talk about. But he talked about we have to move from just having the information, which, as you said, like, it's readily out there and becoming a lot more grotesque and a lot more visible. We have to move from knowing something to acting on it.
I don't disagree, but I'm not a huge Cardinal Dolan fan. Obviously, he refused to take a stand on excommunicating or preventing Cuomo from receiving the Eucharist, which I think could have been a huge time. So, I mean, I don't disagree. I just, you know, the thing that frustrates me is because I follow his Twitter account too, and he's in the same time period, like within that week, you know, when they painted the tower red and everything or whatever, pink. Yeah, it should have been red. You know, he makes the comments of, well, a true progressive, you know, would support life, and a true progressive would defend the unborn, and I just find it, frustrating that I feel like he tries to walk that line between, like, I don't really want to offend anybody, but I'm a bishop, so I have to defend the pro-life cause. So let me try and, I don't know, mince my words to, well, I'm a true progressive. So instead of just saying, you know what, they're babies, we can't kill them. And anybody that stands up to this degree and publicly, you know, supports the murder of babies in my city, you know, I can't represent the Catholic Church. That's my opinion.
I think that, yeah, I think that in this case, you and Cardinal Dolan both agree that there's definitely going to be action, or that should be action coming from the extreme and the overreach.
Yeah.
As far as the other, covering all the aspects, yeah, I think
it's a lot there.
You really, I think it's important, the honesty in looking at how serious in nature and extreme that we in America have become.
Yeah.
No one else goes for this kind of abortion rights other than China, North Korea. In developed countries, first world countries, there's very few countries that have this amount of extreme access to abortion, and now we're paying for it. Literally, our taxpayer money is going to pay for this.
Yeah, all communist, by the way.
Yeah, there's not a grouping that you want to be in. It's not like, oh, these are really great countries and doing wonderful things for people.
Right.
It is, we have become extremely extreme. But I think that the turn, the hope in that is that we are also, because individualization has spread out our culture so much at each person, it's also created an inability for a lot of people to articulate arguments well.
Yeah.
When we form our students and we mentor them, they become a dynamic and powerful force on campus because it's easy to break through logical fallacies.
Yeah.
If you have a connection or the respect to the person you're talking to.
Yeah.
And I wish everyone was intellectual based. Jason, and you're like, just give me the science and the logic, and I can go right to
right,
it.
And I'll make a decision, informed decision.
Yeah, that's not really how a lot of our decision making happens.
Especially on college campuses.
Yeah, yes, that is absolutely correct. But as people, we make so many more emotional-based decisions than logical ones.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of our brain functions. And logic can teach us that, you know, the logic of studies and looking at that. And so we have to appeal to both the heart and the mind.
There's no room for emotion in decision-making.
No, you just want to kick it all out.
There's absolutely. No room for you. Just straight
just,
logic.
Just
only.
Straight logic. I don't think that's a lot of the way that how decisions are made, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because you can't, and there's an appropriate level of emotion that's required to be able to gauge some of the magnitude of the decision making.
Yeah.
But when a young woman is in a crisis situation, I mean, that's anyone in a crisis is making decisions more emotional based than logical based.
Yeah.
And how do we find resources? How do we talk to her? How do we respond to her and engage her in a life-affirming way that respects both her and her child? That's what we teach our students to do.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate Kevin for being here from We Dignify. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Catholic Conversations on 89.5 Catholic Spirit Radio.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
To all of our listeners who own or work for a business, this radio station, Catholic Spirit Radio, wants to promote your business. For as little as $50 a month, you can become an underwriter and your message will be heard by listeners throughout McLean and Livingston counties. Catholic Spirit Radio broadcasts 24 hours a day. Call 309-830-4164 to discuss underwriting contracts for all budgets. Again, 309-830-4164 is the number to call.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. If you missed the first segment, if you're just now tuning in, I would encourage you to go back. We've been having a fantastic conversation with Kevin Griot from the We Dignify pro-life organization. That so are you the founder, co-founder?
I'm not the founder. I am. Our founder was named John Paul Deddins. And he started us when he was just a junior in college. And then I came on about 5 years later. And I've been working full-time with them.
Nice. So where was he from?
Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
And was it University
of Illinois?
He was a
Dayton Flyer?
No.
He went to the U of I.
He grew up in Dayton, Ohio, and went to the University of Illinois and graduated, turned down an engineering job to go full-time in pro-life ministry.
Nice.
And has built up.
So where's he at?
He's now back in Dayton, okay. Ohio.
That's a fairly Catholic area, right? Dayton?
Yeah.
There's a Catholic college there, right? Or Dayton is a Catholic college, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. See? John doesn't know.
That's okay.
Drake is a Catholic college, right? In Des Moines?
Yes.
I thought so. I give a plug for the Illinois State Men's Redbirds that I watched yesterday with my 5-year-old son. Our first ever Redbird basketball game, they beat Drake. It's pretty impressive. Drake is number one in the Missouri Valley Conference, and ISU beat them by, I think it was 7. I think the final score said 5, but I'm pretty sure that finger roll at the end was still on his hand. But, you know, since they won it, they didn't go back and review it. But I'm pretty sure that the Drake player, you know, still had the ball in his hand.
I think they're taking the W at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
They're taking the win.
They looked good. I was impressed. I think that the Redbirds are far better than their record. I mean, they beat Loyola and they beat Drake. And those are like the top two teams in the Missouri Valley. And ISU's like 14 or 15-14. So, I mean, not the best record, but when it comes to playing the big boys, I was pretty impressed. So congratulations to those guys and to Dan Mueller, the coach, who is a member of the Knights Columbus. And I see him at Mass every weekend. And so it's a good group.
That's great.
I think he's doing a good job over there. So we'll give him a shout out.
Yeah.
So back to the pro-life conversation. I saw on Twitter yesterday that it was something about Title X and Donald Trump was defunding some Planned Parenthood to the tune of $60 million. What is Title X?
So Title X is money that the government spends on family planning care, generally funding people to get contraception is what the majority of that is. But what the Health and Human Services...
So when people say family, they mean mom, dad, and kids, right? I mean, that's the definition of a family?
Yeah, I mean, the nuclear... Yeah.
So when you say family planning, wouldn't you be planning to have a family, not ways to obstruct.
Yeah. The notion that you can plan that is also a lot of control.
Yeah.
That should be more, it needs to be
a little bit more human. Right?
Yeah, yeah. That's not really something that exists.
I was just giving you a hard time.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So
this is what the title 10 is. You want to know? But HHS just enforced regulation directed by President Trump that defunds any clinic that is referring for abortions. So the projections of this defunding effort is up to $60 million is what could take away from Planned Parenthood. It's important to note, if you don't know, that Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the U.S., and they provide over 300,000 abortions every year.
Wow. That's a lot. It's almost 1,000 a day.
Yeah.
Now, I saw a chart, and I think we have the title of oasis in the desert of abortions
in Illinois,
the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Great. I'm glad. The vast majority, it looked like on this map that I saw, was New York, California, and Illinois. It looked like, or that was at least the vast majority of kind of the concentration of Planned Parenthood facilities.
Yeah, they just opened up a new facility in Flossmoor, but I think it's also important to note Aid for Women, which is a pregnancy resource center, also just opened a new location in Flossmoor. The abortion clinic in Aurora, which is a massive, in Aurora, Illinois, is a massive building and structure. There's a new pregnancy care center going up across the street as well, being built. That offers not only pregnancy care, but also post-abortive healing. And that's being built directly across. So, yeah, this is definitely becoming a place that, I mean, Illinois increased in 2017 to 2018. You had 1,000 more people come from out of state to get abortions here than the previous year.
Yeah. When it's free, there's no reason why you'd pay for it somewhere else, right?
Our neighboring states have much better pro-life laws on the books. And we don't allow things like 12-year-olds to have, just parental notification.
Yeah.
It's really extreme here and continues to be. I think it's important to note that there are strong communities. And I love speaking and going on radio in Central Illinois. It's great. I mean, yeah, I love it. My parents were on last week. Yeah, you're talking about family, parents, kid. Yeah. Can't get away from them in Central Illinois.
Yeah.
But I think that's the beauty of the community and the people really value life here and the family here. Unfortunately, that's not true throughout the rest of the state in different parts, but it's definitely given me the virtues and the foundation to understand that we must stand for this and we must step up and train other people. Right now, in September, we launched a podcast for We Dignify, one of the things we were expanding, and that gives you, 45-minute segments of information, questions, experts coming on, lawyers, professors, doctors, medical experts, on all the things that are coming out. So if you want to learn more, that's definitely a way to check it out at wedignify.org/podcast. Or you can get a podcast however else. You mentioned there's probably 14, 15 different buttons you can push on your phone that will take you to a podcast.
I'm sure, yeah.
So whatever way you utilize getting to a podcast, we have it there for you.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is, for folks that are coming to the realization that killing babies is not acceptable. And they know, maybe somebody at work or school or family member who is extremely maybe pro-choice. If there was one or two arguments that they could make, maybe that you guys, when you're training the mentors, what's maybe the most common discussion point?
I think the common starting point is asking them more about their position and why I think. And after you get past a couple of catchphrases of my body, my choice and things like that, and you can walk back, one easy tool to use, and we learned this from Jay Watts, who runs Merely Human Ministries, talks about trotting out the toddler. And this goes back to your point that we started off talking about. Well, if I have a toddler here who's 2 years old, is it okay for me to kill it? And people are like, no. And then you walk back, and at what age? When he's 18 months old, a year, and then you just walk your way back the biological progression of a developing human, and you start to see some of the illogical holes. Because I think allowing patience and humility for a person to come to terms with that is very difficult. Because I think if I were to change my mind on something, I don't know about you, sounds like you might be a little stubborn like me, maybe a little bit difficult to weigh in and realize that. So allowing them, having a conversation that's a conversation starter and not a conversation ender. If you try and do it all in 1 5-minute segment at the water cooler, it's probably going to turn south real quick.
It's probably going to end with you in HR. It's probably, yeah, let's be honest. That's where it's going to end.
It's probably going to end right there. And then that won't go so well for you or them. But if you're looking for, how do I start these conversations? How do I do more? And if you're just weighing in on this issue, just beginning to talk about it, I want to encourage you to check out our 7-day challenge, where it gives you 10 minute segments, 7 days. You sign up, weDignify.org/7-day-challenge. You can put the letter 7 or the number 7 in. You could spell out the word 7. Either way, 7-day challenge.
You guys covered all the bases.
Yeah, right. Are you worried about, like, do I type the number? Do I type the letters? Either way, it's going to end up you just put your email in, then you get 10-minute segments for 7 days that give you different practical ways to apply this.
Awesome. Yeah, when you bring up the toddler, and even to the far extreme, right? I mean, there's, again, going back to intellectual honesty, if a life in the womb is not worth saving, then at what point do you get to be old and frail and you're no longer worth saving, you know, from the euthanasia standpoint, which has been one of the biggest reasons that I am against any type of government healthcare mandate, single payer, anything, is that by allowing governmental bodies, or by allowing anyone other than yourself to determine what type of health care you receive, you're giving control of every decision in your life over to somebody else. You know, if someone is paying for your care, then everything about you just comes down to money, right?
How much are you worth?
Right. How much are you worth? And at some point, it's a monetary decision you're no longer worth paying for.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that is, the dignity of life is that life doesn't have a monetary value.
Well, if that's where we get our value of life, then we're very skewed. At that point, why don't we just eliminate anyone who is experiencing poverty?
Yeah.
If poor people are worth less.
Yeah. Or any type of special need, right? Yeah. It's going to cost more to take care of anybody that's disabled, handicapped, you know.
This is the absurdity of the argument. I mean, of utilitarianism argument, of thinking like, oh, you're just worth what you're financially worth or what you're able to do.
Right.
This is where, that's why we wanted to move people back to a value level with We Dignify. Dignity is not something that is a degree. And it's not dependent on someone else determining whether you have dignity or not. It is something that is God-given. That's the only way. It's something that every person, intrinsic to their nature, has dignity. So when we get into measuring things like euthanasia, is probably going to be on the scene here in Illinois very soon as well. So this is not a far-off, removed thing. We're not talking about just Washington or somewhere far away. But the closer, you're right, the closer we get to separate entities determining our finances and medical decisions.
And for people that scoff at that idea of the death panels, basically, right? Because that was kind of the rallying cry during the Obamacare debates was, oh, there's going to be death panels. And of course, people rolled their eyes and they're like, oh my gosh, really?
That's absurd.
That's absurd. And now look at it. And you can't tell me that you're not on the same track of death panels when you tell people, well, you're no longer allowed to drink soda because it's bad for you. Or you have to, you know, you have to pay more money because you weigh more than somebody else and you're on our healthcare plan. So now you have employers that are mandating, you know, exercise programs, they're mandating eating programs. And that's what happens when you turn over the cost of your care to someone else, then that person then gets to make every determining factor on whether or not you're worth it, whether that's in the womb or, you know, a death panel because you're, you know, super old and 68 years old.
68, super old?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It was just a jab at some of our listeners. It was a good-natured jab. It was just a joke. Settle down. 86. But
it's all the more imperative that you must act right now.
Right.
You must step up. If you feel like you don't have the information, it's not difficult to subscribe, get an email, get a podcast, start learning. It's not that the knowledge isn't out there.
Right.
It's just whether you're doing something about it or not. And I had a student reading right now Ted, who's a president over at University of Illinois, our group there, he just sent me a text of, he's reading Night by Eli Wiesel. I believe that's how you say his name. He survived the Holocaust and wrote, and prolific writer on this. But in the book, he sent me a text saying, quote, "We must take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Sometimes we must interfere." And it goes on to say that whenever men and women are persecuted because of their race, religion, or political views, and Ted adds, or level of development, that place must, at that moment, become the center of the universe. End quote. And yeah. Like, this is where we're at, though.
Yeah.
The center of our universe. People complain about talking about this. Oh, you're talking about the pro-life movement too much, or complain on that. And I'm kind of wondering.
Like, or they say, oh, you're just a one-topic voter or whatever. The dignity of life and the fact that it doesn't have a monetary value, that it is incarnate from God, is paramount to all civil society. Because to your point, and he survived the Holocaust, there was plenty of people that stood around and they said, well, I'm not Jewish, so I don't have to worry about it, right? Or I'm not a gypsy or a homosexual or mentally handicapped, so I don't have to worry about it. Like, eventually, it doesn't matter. They'll end up coming for a group that you belong to.
I mean, I'm already born, so I don't have to worry about that.
Right. Woo, dodged a bullet there. Pun intended.
Unfortunately, though, we have students coming to a realization, though, that they were at risk. We have students now living, because it's been around for 40 years plus, over 45 years, you're looking at students who are coming in involvement because a doctor said that they should be aborted because they thought something was wrong with them.
You know, I like asking my mom hard questions. Maybe I'll ask her that. Hey, did you ever think about aborting me? And see what she said. I mean, that would be a huge revelation, to your point, in someone's life. Like, hey, my, you know, and maybe it wasn't like a thought that carried on, but it was the society said, well, you know, maybe you're too poor, you're not married, or you're not, you know, educated enough. Like, you should at least consider it.
Yeah. And I would caution on how you approach that, because if that's the case, you don't want to come too hard
sure.
on that. But I think more in gratitude, we could express appreciation for the life that has
the
been
choice,
given
yeah.
to us.
Absolutely.
Because for everyone that's under 45, it was a choice. And that is something that, whether their parents would never make that choice, that's great and that's wonderful. But recognizing the gratefulness that we have for our life is where we really begin. And from there, you can start seeing a world that's different. Our vision is to build a culture of life where people treat life with love and new life is welcome with joy. And those who are hurt by abortion are led to healing hope.
Yeah.
And through conversations, through training, through action, we can see that being built.
And I've made the argument on the radio before that I think, again, specifically to the unborn, to the pro-life idea and the protection of the unborn, I think now that it's been so many years, to your point, that we see that idea that life is not valuable trickle out through the rest of society, right? We have these mass shootings, like every time we turn on the TV. You know, to me, that in and of itself is that prolonged idea that life isn't really valuable. And so, you know, it's all about the fame and the glory of the shooter. I don't think they really recognize. And I think a lot of that stems from the idea that life is not valuable enough to protect it in the womb. And so then that just permeates our society, and it has for decades now. And so I think you start to get those types of, well, it's really not that big of a deal.
Or suicide rates have dramatically increased.
Absolutely. Suicide's another one.
And how the own value for your own life.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks, but I think it's important where, help me out with a quote on this, is that where sin abounds, grace also abounds.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty close. I don't know if it's exact, but I would agree. I think you nailed it.
But maybe you're feeling from this conversation, frustration, anger, or thinking like, oh, well, this is just how it is. And I can connect to that, but this is also the time for people to rise up.
Absolutely.
To stand up, and you're given the grace to confront. And I think, yeah, this is very dramatic things happening right around us that I did not anticipate seeing third trimester abortions being advocated right here in Illinois. But this is also the time for you where you can receive a lot of grace and support. And when we see people standing up, you know, a student at DePaul University was, his name was Sean, and that's who was called the devil incarnate by another student walking by. But he was able to shrug it off. He had support. He had people around him. You know, We Dignify was right there. And he was like, yeah, not a big deal because I know I'm not crazy. And to be able to give that to help him stand up is only going to build on his confidence to do so more and more. And I think that is integral. And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not a student in college. And maybe you're thinking, but there are different ways to give your time. Obviously, to give treasure, you know, WeDignify.org, you can donate there as well. But maybe you're looking to, and we're looking right now in Central Illinois for someone's talent who's a strategic critical thinker who can help scale and grow an endeavor that has taken off. But also someone, maybe you're thinking, maybe you have the gifts of marketing or advertising. Because as much as we know the logic, being able to access people's hearts to change their hearts is something that we're also building up at WeDignify too. So if those are two things you're interested in and contributing and have the talent of a strategic critical thinker or marketing and advertising, drop an email, info@WeDignify.org, and reach out to us.
Awesome. Yeah, for folks that want to get the 10-minute, the 7 series, 10 minutes, yeah. What was that again?
WeDignify.org/7-day challenge. You can go to WeDignify.org/podcast to tune in for more information too, or WeDignify.org will just really get you where you need to go. Yeah.
So check out WeDignify.org. You guys have social media?
We do. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is new and big and more relevant than Facebook sometimes.
Yeah, I haven't. So. I think I have an Insta chat page, but I don't know. My 13-year-old could probably show me how to use it. But
we're not on Snapchat. You won't find us there.
Not on Snapchat.
Your 13-year-old might be on Snapchat, but yeah. We're not there. You'll have to go to the other...
Twitter. That's
yep.
That's my home these days, Twitter.
Twitter is... Yep. You got to be careful there. You might have to actually read the article that's linked to in the tweet.
Yeah, that's always...
You might actually...
I love it when people comment, and then whoever posted, it's like, you clearly didn't read the article. You read the title. And is it WeDignify? Or WeDignify, is that the Twitter handle?
Yep.
All right,
make it real simple. It's all uniform.
Yeah.
If you check us out there, too.
That's good that none of those were taken.
Yeah.
You know, that's always the trouble when you come up with a name and then, you know, you get to the one social media platform and it's already taken and you're like, we got to come up with something different for Facebook or whatever.
Right. Yeah. You got to be uniform. It makes it much easier for people to get. But
yeah, absolutely. So check out WeDignify.org. Check them out on Facebook, on Instagram.
There you go.
Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to like and share it as soon as we get off the radio. So by the time this airs on Saturday and Sunday, you can check out my Twitter and find them. But check out WeDignify.org. And again, thank Kevin Griot for all the work that he does and everyone else in the organization and for coming on the radio and talking to us a little bit. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to do the gospel reading. You going to stick around and do the gospel with us?
Definitely.
Awesome. You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
To all of our listeners who own or work for a business, this radio station, Catholic Spirit Radio, wants to promote your business. For as little as $50 a month, you can become an underwriter and your message will be heard by listeners throughout McLean and Livingston counties. Catholic Spirit Radio broadcasts 24 hours a day. Call 309-830-4164 to discuss underwriting contracts for all budgets. Again, 309-830-4164 is the number to call.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. We're going to jump into the gospel here. Kevin Griot is our guest from We Dignify. If you're just now tuning in, you can listen to the gospel with us and get our take on it, but then go back and listen to all the great things that We Dignify has going on. Really, it was an organization that was founded because Kevin didn't want to leave the Students for Life at Illinois. We covered that.
I just wanted to keep being a student.
Yeah, he's still a student. No, so We Dignify, it really was the fact that Students for Life blew up and became so successful that that folks didn't want to leave, which I think is a good sign of an organization if you see that much value in it, that it continues to be that important for your life after you graduate. And so now they're training mentors on college campuses. You guys said you expanded to how many states? 13?
Oh, so our podcast is listened to in over 30 states. We're up in with mentors in Milwaukee, so Wisconsin and Illinois right
now. Oh, okay.
Now,
all right. Yep. 30 states. That's what I was. I knew there was a figure out there. And soon, hopefully, to be in Scotland.
Yeah, if the one listener over there wants.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good for him, man. So go back and check out our podcast on iTunes or Podbean and listen to the conversation. It's been a great conversation. We so appreciate Kevin for coming. And then also check out their website at wedignify.org. Sign up to get the 7 days worth of 10-minute podcast. Are they podcasts? Are they videos? Or
little audio clips.
Audio clips. To help prepare you for that water cooler debate on whether or not we should protect the lives of the unborn.
Hundreds of people have already participated in it, too.
Nice. Awesome. Changing the world by saving one baby at a time. Great stuff from We Dignify. So we're going to jump into the gospel. We're still in the book of Luke, chapter 6. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like the teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's a gospel according to Luke. Now, apparently, word's gotten out, so Kevin came prepared.
Oh, thanks for setting that expectation very high,
yeah,
Jason.
Yeah, well, you know, you come prepared, and we're gonna really rely on you to give us some deep theological.
I mean, I read it this morning.
All right,
that's
perfect.
That's how prepared.
So, what do you think? How does it speak to you? Let me ask you this: did it speak to you the same way now as it did this morning, or did you hear something different?
Every time it gets a little bit clearer,
yeah.
I think if there's a specific message trying to get through to me.
Isn't that the beauty of the Gospels? I mean, the Bible in general, but it always...
Well, it's also written because we're slow, you know, on the uptake.
Yeah. I always say if the disciples could make it, then the rest of us should... We should be able to.
I mean, that's exactly what this points to, and as a notion of pride stands out so strongly. You know, that the blind and the blind, no one can become the teacher. And so stop vying for position, you know, who's going to be at Jesus' right hand. Stop worrying about that kind of thing. But then it stands out again, obviously, with the plank in, you know, your own eye, the wooden beam versus a splinter in your brother's. Both of those, and all of it, the ending really is an internal challenge to me and to everyone that listens, because you cannot bear good fruit unless you have prepared your interior being and the self-possession it takes. And I think it's a strong call for confession as we are about to enter into Lent and understand the sacrifice. But we see this so often in that I cannot serve the students well if I am caught up in my own pride. If I'm caught up in just winning an argument and being right, then I'm not focused on serving the person in front of me.
Plus, nobody's going to listen to you.
Yeah. Well, I'll listen to me.
And you'll be right.
Yeah, and I'll be right. But it does... I mean, the ability to humble ourselves, recognize our own faults, and then be able to move from that place of awareness outward to where we can actually care for the person in front of us. If we have a wooden beam in our own eye, I mean, this is another case where Jesus is trying to make it overtly clear that everyone sins, but also that you have to develop the relationship you have with Jesus and your interior being in order to produce good fruit. Because it's out of, you know, the good stored up in your own self that you can then serve others. So it's a tough thing to recognize because people want to take action right away, but, you know, you can fail, and we failed a lot right away. We tried a bunch of things that were like just about being right.
Yeah.
And then then we didn't see the fruit. And then we took measurement of it and realized, oh, in order to bear fruit, we have to do things a certain way that will then produce long impact.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think, I think specifically some of this speaks to that idea of, well, I think it's a baby and I wouldn't do it, but I'm not going to tell somebody else not to do it. I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, we as Christians get beat up on, and a lot of times we do it to ourselves, it's the whole idea of, well, you know, I shouldn't judge other people, or I shouldn't call out sin and try to help my brothers and sisters towards Christ. And I think Jesus very clearly says, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, meaning there's going to be a second step here. And so, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think it definitely means that we need to take self-account, and we need to pray and go to confession and receive the Eucharist and understand our faith and understand the way that our faith forms our conscience, especially when it comes to the pro-life cause. But then he says, once you have taken the beam from your eye, you will be able to see clearly and remove the splinter in your brother's eye. So, you know, again, we're not called to just allow others to wallow in their own sin, or we're not called to say, well, now don't you have an abortion, but then don't speak out against defending life, you know, yourself. We're definitely called to do both. We're definitely called to form our conscience and our faith, and then articulate that in a way, in a loving way, that does, to your point, bring people to the same realization.
We're not off the hook once we're forgiven or anything like that. It says then you will, to remove the splinter in your brother's eye, you'll see clearly on how to do that. So there is the action involved and moving from, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
But not others. Don't worry about them. You do what you want.
Right.
It's like, oh, actually, you have a responsibility.
Yeah, a Christian responsibility.
It goes right to we are the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And if one person is hurting, then we're all hurting. So, yep, absolutely. If we're able to remove the sin first from our own self, then we can help others remove that from their life.
Well, Kevin, I so appreciate it. WeDignify.org. Get signed up for the 7-day challenge.
Yeah, or the podcast. WeDignify.org/podcast.
Or come in and start working with you guys.
Yeah, and I mean, some people give time and they also give talent. We have several people who consult with us at different times and are able to provide wisdom to us that we readily receive and appreciate too.
Awesome. Well, we so appreciate everything that you guys are doing. Keep up the good work and keep fighting the good fight. You are listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. And again, we thank Kevin from WeDignify.org for being here. Check out their website. Check them out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to get more information. And next week, John, who's our guest? Any idea? We have no idea. We're into March. I know we have one. So I'm sure it'll be an awesome show. Thanks to everybody for listening. And again, check out our website and download the app.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at catholicspiritradio.com.